Each day, news reports about man-made global warming grow more fantastically apocalyptic.
No challenge poses a greater threat to future generations than climate change.
Earth is hotter now than ever, and humans are to blame.
The hottest year ever in recorded history.
Hurricanes are mainly due to man-made global warming.
Typhoons and hurricanes are getting stronger.
We are told that we should be worried because the Earth's climate is changing. You are told that man-made climate change is proved beyond doubt. And yet a number of senior climate scientists now say the theory simply doesn't make sense.
CO2 is irrelevant.
I've often heard it said that there is a consensus of thousands of scientists on the global warming issue and that humans are causing a catastrophic change to the climate system. Well, I am one scientist, and there are many that simply think that is not true.
If we look at climate through the geological time frame, we would never suspect CO2 as a major climate driver.
Man-made global warming is no longer just a theory about climate. It is one of the defining moral and political causes of our age. Campaigners say the time for debate is over. Any criticism, no matter how scientifically rigorous, is illegitimate. Even worse, dangerous.
These days, if you are skeptical about the litany around climate change, you're suddenly like as if you're a Holocaust denier.
When people say we don't believe in global warming, I say, no, I believe in global warming. I don't believe that human CO2 is causing that warming.
This is a story of the distortion of a whole area of science. It is the story of how a political campaign turned into a bureaucratic bandwagon. CO2 forms only a very small part of the Earth's atmosphere. Why do we suppose that carbon dioxide is responsible for our changing climate?
The atmosphere is made up of a multitude of gases. A small percentage of them we call greenhouse gases. And of that very small percentage of greenhouse gases, 95% of it is water vapor. It's the most important greenhouse gas.
Water vapor is a greenhouse gas, by far the most important greenhouse gas.
If you take CO2 as a percentage of all the gases in the atmosphere, the oxygen, the nitrogen, and argon, and so on, it's 0.054%. It's an incredibly small portion. And then, of course, you've got to take that portion that supposedly humans are adding, which is the focus of all the concern, and it gets even smaller.
This cube represents man-made CO2, a greenhouse gas. Although it can build up in the atmosphere, it's only 3.5% of all the CO2 emitted each year. The rest is natural. Water vapor makes up 95% of all greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Greenhouse gases make up only 2% of the total atmosphere. So is that one cube of man-made CO2 driving the climate?
CO2 is not a pollutant. It's not a poison, and we should not corrupt the English language by depriving pollutant and poison of their original meaning.
We're really in a CO2 famine now. Most of the time it's at least 1,000, you know, and it's been quite a bit higher than that. The Earth was just fine in those times.
The fact that there was both higher temperatures and an ice age at a time when CO2 was 10 times higher than today fundamentally contradicts the certainty CO2 emissions are the main cause of climate change.
In the past 150 years, the temperature has risen just over half a degree Celsius. But the strange thing is, most of that rise occurred in the early decades of the 20th century, between 1905 and 1940, when industrial production was still relatively small. After the Second World War, refrigerators and washing machines and TVs and cars began to be mass-produced for an international market. Historians call this global explosion of industrial activity the post-war economic boom. So how does this compare with the temperature record? After 1940, as industry expanded, for some reason the world cooled. This cooling is even more pronounced in other temperature reconstructions. This graph shows temperature change in the Arctic during the 20th century. Again, most of the rise occurs before 1940. And again, during the post-war economic boom, the temperature falls and continues falling for 35 years.
CO2 began to increase exponentially in about 1940, but the temperature actually began to decrease 1940, continued till about 1975. So this is the opposite relation. Then we cannot say that CO2 and the temperature go together.
We can't say that CO2 will drive climate. It certainly never did in the past.
Temperature went up significantly up to 1940 when human production of CO2 was relatively low. And then in the post-war years, when industry and the whole economies of the world really got going and human production of CO2 just soared, the global temperature was going down. In other words, the facts didn't fit the theory. The fundamental assumption of the whole theory of climate change due to humans is shown to be wrong.
We can trace the present warming trend back at least 200 years to the end of a very cold period in Earth's history. This cold spell is known to climatologists as the Little Ice Age. If we look back further in time, before the Little Ice Age, we find a balmy golden era when temperatures were higher than they are today, a time known to climatologists as the medieval warm period. Going back in time further still, before the medieval warm period, we find more warm spells, including a very prolonged period during the Bronze and Stone Ages known to geologists as the Holocene Maximum, when temperatures were significantly higher than they are now for more than 3 millennia.
If we go back 8,000 years in the Holocene period, our current interglacial, it was much warmer than it is today.
It is sometimes suggested that even a mild increase in global temperature could lead to a catastrophic melting of the polar ice caps. But what does Earth's climate history tell us?
We happen to have temperature records of Greenland that go back thousands of years. Greenland has been much warmer. Just 1,000 years ago, Greenland was warmer than it is today, yet it didn't have a dramatic melting event.
Carbon dioxide is not the cause of that warming. In fact, we can say that the warming produced the increase in carbon dioxide.
CO2 clearly cannot be causing temperature changes. It's a product of temperature. It's following temperature changes.
The ice core record goes to the very heart of the problem we have here. They said, if the CO2 increases in the atmosphere as a greenhouse gas, then the temperature will go up. But the ice core record shows exactly the opposite. So the fundamental assumption, the most fundamental assumption of the whole theory of climate change due to humans is shown to be wrong.
The present climate, from the perspective of a geologist, is very close to the coldest it's ever been. The concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere today is close to the lowest it's ever been.
In Earth's long history, there have been countless periods when it was much warmer and much cooler than it is today. The climate has always changed, and changed without any help from us humans. The common belief that carbon dioxide is driving climate change is at odds with much of the available scientific data. Data from weather balloons and satellites, data from the ice cores, and from the historical temperature records. But why, if this is so, are we bombarded day after day with news items about man-made global warming? Why do so many people in the media and elsewhere regard it as an undisputed fact?
Climate scientists need there to be a problem in order to get funding.
We have a vested interest in creating panic, because then money will flow to climate science. The billions of dollars vested in climate science means there is a huge constituency of people dependent upon those dollars, and they will want to see that carry forward.
Tens of thousands of jobs depend upon global warming right now. It's a big business.
There is now a powerful institutional momentum behind the idea of man-made global warming. It is supported by a powerful political body, the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC.
The IPCC, like any UN body, is political. The final conclusions are politically driven. Inevitably, the moment politicians put their weight behind something and attach their name to it in some ways, of course, money will flow. That's the way it goes. And inevitably, research, development, institutions started to bubble up, if I can put it that way, which were going to be researching climate, but with a particular emphasis on the relationship between carbon dioxide and temperature.
In 1988, at the request of Mrs. Thatcher, the UK Met Office set up a climate modelling unit, which provided the basis for a new international committee called the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC.
They came out with the first big report which predicted climatic disaster as a result of global warming.
Official reports issued by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change are often very alarming. But how reliable are they? In a letter to the Wall Street Journal, Professor Frederick Seitz, former president of America's National Academy of Sciences, revealed that IPCC officials had censored the comments of scientists. He said that,
"This report is not the version that was approved by the contributing scientists."
At least 15 key sections of the science chapter had been deleted. These included statements like,
"None of the studies cited has shown clear evidence that we can attribute climate changes to increases in greenhouse gases. No study to date has positively attributed all or part of the observed climate changes to man-made causes."
Professor Seitz concluded,
"I have never witnessed a more disturbing corruption of the peer review process than the events that led to this IPCC report."
In its reply, the IPCC did not deny making these deletions, but it said there was no dishonesty or bias in the report and that uncertainties about the cause of global warming had been included. The changes had been made, it said, in response to comments from governments, individual scientists, and non-governmental organizations.
This claim that the IPCC is the world's top 1,500 or 2,500 scientists, you look at the bibliographies of the people and it's simply not true.
The old English saying, if you stand up in the coconut shy, they're going to throw at you. So I understand that there's going to be some of that, but it gets pretty difficult and pretty nasty and very personal. And there have been, death threats and all sorts of things.
When I resigned from the IPCC, I thought that was the end of it. But when I saw the final draft, my name was still there, so I asked for it to be removed. Well, they told me that I had contributed, so it would remain there. So I said, no, I haven't contributed, because they haven't listened to anything I've said. So in the end, it was quite a battle. But finally, I threatened legal action against them, and they removed my name. And I think this happens a great deal. Those people who are specialists but don't agree with the polemic and resign, and there have been a number that I know of, they are simply put on the author list and become part of this 2,500 of the world's top scientists.
Patrick Moore is considered one of the foremost environmentalists of his generation. He is co-founder of Greenpeace.
The environmental movement has evolved into the strongest force there is. Really, it is a political activist movement. And they have become hugely influential at a global level.
And the people got the power. The people got the
power. I think it's legitimate for me to call them anti-human. It is not a good idea to think of humans as sort of being scum. You know, that it's okay to have hundreds of millions of them go blind or die or whatever. I just can't relate to that.
The theory of man-made global warming is now so firmly entrenched, the voices of opposition so effectively silenced, it seems invincible, untroubled by any contrary evidence, no matter how strong. The global warming alarm is now beyond reason. But there is nothing unusual about the current temperature. The Earth's climate is always changing. The scientific evidence does not support the notion that climate is driven by carbon dioxide, man-made or otherwise.
The global warming alarm is dressed up as science, but it's not science. It's propaganda.